Welcome to TSOH Weekly. My name is Alex Morris from the TSOH Investment Research Service. With me, as always, Francisco Oliveira of Aravilo Capital Management. The company we're discussing this week is Match, and we're also going to talk about Bumble a little bit too. I think a good place to start this conversation is with some numbers for the leading apps, at least in English-speaking markets, Bumble, Hinge, and Tinder. If you go back 5 years ago in 2019, they collectively generated just shy of $1.5 billion of revenues. Using each of the company's 2024 guidance, the cumulative revenues for the three apps is just shy of $3.5 billion. So that's a 19% CAGR over that period. You know, obviously Tinder was a more established business at that time, so the growth rate of Tinder has been lower than for the other two brands. But what you see as you move over that period, particularly in 2024, its collective revenue growth for the three brands of 11%, which obviously a pretty clear step down from that 19% CAGR. And you see, you know, Tinder has slowed down over the past 3 years. We've also seen Bumble decelerate pretty significantly in the past 2 years. So it seems like there's something, you know, going on here in this industry. And maybe one quote to go with those numbers is something that Match CFO Gary Swidler said at a recent conference, where he said the current crop of products, including Tinder and its competitors, are not satisfying enough people with the experience. We need to better cater to demographics who have said basically that they're unhappy with the experience when they use these apps. You know, the woman who just became Tinder's CEO is focused on improving that experience, particularly do a better job with younger users and females. So, you know, Francisco, as you look at this industry and, you know, at Match and Bumble, how do you think about where they currently stand and what the opportunity looks like in, you know, the years ahead?
It's interesting because, you know, app-based dating was hardly existing, you know, 10 years ago, or it was a very, very early part of their existence and growth. And I still think that just looking at a very, very big picture, over time this is going to be an important way for how consumers start dating and eventually marry somebody. But I think what's clear is that, you know, even though the secular opportunity is likely to be available, it's not linear every year. And I think what we're seeing now is that, in the admission in that quote, is that there needs to be adjustments, in the offering and how do they cater to consumers, and you know how innovative the product, you know, can be. I mean, you know, Tinder's innovation was the swipe right, swipe. And the Bumble was, you know, the woman is the one who decides, and that was an unlock. And I think over time, it kind of resonates with me. You know, Bumble having their own product for friends, but with the open-mindedness that maybe that leads to a relationship, and Bumble having a feature where, you know, the woman decides if she actually wants to start the conversation or have someone start the conversation with her. And these are very, very simple things that are not technical, and these are obviously much more complex products that who had features. But what I see in the growth cycle on a revenue basis today, that's it's the growth rates are diminishing pretty quickly. And on the Tinder side, it's more focused on raising prices. You know, I feel and that's been helpful in generating growth, but it's at the expense of subscribers as well. So I don't think that is a permanent feature. I don't think on the existing offering products today, you can just raise prices. And at the existing products today, you're just not going to get consumers to download the apps and use them and be happy. So it's not exactly the same thing, but it reminds me of Netflix, where, you know, they went through this huge growth phase and obviously was helped by the pandemic. And then they had to adjust. And some people were saying, hey, streaming's completely saturated. It's over. No, they, you know, they had to have the ads here. They had to cr do a crack on password sharing, and then, you know, make adjustments to the content. And then, you know, the secular opportunity is still there. I feel like, in a way, that's what's happening here. And I think these companies probably need to be a lot more aggressive with the products that they offer. Maybe, either also launching new apps or having different features, but consumer tastes and preferences change very, very quickly. I think one of the CEOs of the dating apps was saying that, the young demographics don't necessarily feel it's always appropriate for a man to go up to a woman to talk to her in a bar. Which is very different, obviously, than the generation in that demo maybe 15, 20 years ago. So I just think that adjustments need that these companies need quick adjustments. I'm not exactly sure what will happen, who the winners are, and what that would lead to. But it's clear that I don't buy the recent MS Morgan Stanley conference. They were asking Tinder like, hey, secular growth is that over in the US? And I think that's a big area here. And I don't believe that's to be true, but it doesn't mean that adjustments aren't needed or a new app can come in and disrupt. And there's also AI-based apps in this space as well. So that could be disruptive. So it's clear pricing is not gonna be the end all be all here if you want the secular growth, but changes need to be made.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to consider the pricing changes that we've seen, specifically at Tinder in the US, and also in the context of the C-suite turnover that the company's dealt with for some time now. And taking all the information that we have from over the past 3, 4, 5 years and thinking about what it means from where we stand today with the understanding of what some of the headwinds are here and how to fix them. And again, especially, my take on how this all has played out is that Bumble was looked at somewhat differently, and rightly so, up until this past quarter and the guidance they gave. And now it's becoming clear that, hey, the headwinds, obviously they're in a different place in terms of the maturity of the business, but the headwinds that are starting to surface look similar. And it's more of how does everybody collectively get out of this, malaise. And in Bumble's case, well, for one, they have a dedicated app for friends, and they have a dedicated app for couples, basically. And it sounds like some of those features will probably make their way into, the core app to have more application there. It's a hard question in terms of how you take an established brand that has a certain image and basically make it into something else. And I think one of the really striking things from the Morgan Stanley conference was management fleshing out stuff that we already know because it's been discussed previously, but in terms of kind of ramping ad spend at Tinder earlier in 2023 and seeing a nice response in terms of user adoption or, reattach. And what they basically said is fast forward 3 or 6 months and the product wasn't truly different. And basically they had brought people back to the app for them to once again realize that it wasn't a good fit for what they were looking for. So, you call that wasted spend, or I might even argue that it's worse than wasted spend because you've kind of damaged your brand a little bit. But my point is, I wonder in some ways how recently they themselves kind of figured out that, hey, we have a problem with our user base, which is not a good thing to say, but I can also appreciate it to some extent because I am a bit confused by what the younger generation wants. So they certainly have some work to do.
Yeah, I mean, I remember several years back, the lingering risk was always like, hey, is Facebook going to get into space? And I think when, they made an announcement one time at one point and Match stock took a pretty big hit. And I don't think Facebook's efforts, I don't even know if they launched, but whatever effort they did didn't lead to nothing. So it's a hard industry to crack. And so it's a lot of props to them for what they've created. However, to your point, I mean, 10 years, 10, 15 years ago, we were in the prime spot here for these apps. Not today. And we don't know, how the younger generation is thinking is dramatically different than, college students 20 years ago. So those adjustments are needed. And I think you need probably voices inside the company. I mean, I think what made some of these companies special and those product launches special, and Tinder, thinking about Tinder and Bumble in specific, is that the people in charge were part of the demographic that they're trying to obtain. And, you know, maybe they need some of that in the management ranks to innovate. But yeah, it's not, they got good, you know, particularly Match with a suite of apps. It's in a good position, but you know, you can't just sit down and collect the cash. You gotta, you know, go after the opportunity and make adjustments.
Yeah, maybe the last thing I'll say is that that makes for an interesting setup for the industry as we look forward with clear, meaningful change underway. Tinder dealing with an activist and obviously a stock price that has been under pressure for some time. Bumble with a founder who recently stepped aside for an incoming CEO and also a stock price that has struggled for some time and, you know, still establishing their footing. Yeah, we could see some interesting developments here, but I think that's probably enough for today. Thanks for listening.